Well, it's good to have you all here today. I bring greetings from Tunkhannock. I was there last week preaching, and I don't know if you realize this, but we have 6 Bridgewater campuses, 5 physical locations all over northeastern Pennsylvania and southern tier of New York, and they are worshiping right now, just like we are here. They are singing the same songs, they're hearing the same sermon, and they are part of us, only not with us. And so they send their greetings in Jesus Christ to you guys, because you guys are the same, and that's really cool. I don't know if you think about that much, but 11 years ago, when my wife and I came to Bridgewater, there was one location, and about 300 people, and you were there. You guys are probably talking about it. It was a long time ago, it feels like, and yet it's amazing what God has done over the years. I was just looking back the other day, and God has saved over 400 people in the last 5 years, only 5 years, at Bridgewater. That is crazy. And I'll let you in on a little secret. There was a salvation on Friday, so next week we'll be celebrating another salvation. But if it's not before Thursday at noon, then it doesn't make the system. So anyway, so God is still working, and that's exciting, and we're encouraged, and glory to God. One of the things that brings us together, unites us over all the different campuses, is our core values. And if you didn't know we have core values, we do. They're out in the lobby on the wall. I saw them before I came in. I ran out and checked, actually, honest, because I couldn't remember whether at this campus they were on the wall or not. And they are. So we have some core values. We have 5 of them. In the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about Bridgewater's core values. What makes us who we are? We believe we have a mission by God to make more and better disciples, a movement of God in northeastern Pennsylvania and the southern tier of New York. And a part of that is birthing these campuses and multiplying ourselves, and God is growing us, and through this process of being more like Him, we're guided by these core values. So 5 core values, and the first one we're going to look at today is everybody has a next step spiritually. Everybody has a next step. Now, we have next steps in every area of our lives. I don't know if you realize this, but the American Pediatric Academy has come out, and they have said that your baby has a next step. In the first 2 years of a baby's life, they're supposed to have 10 doctor's appointments. So 3 to 5 days old, they have one. 1 month, they have one. 2 months, they have one. 4 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, 15 months, 18 months, 24 months. We're supposed to have baby doctor appointments. You know why? Because the doctors want to know whether the baby is taking their next step. And so they watch for whether the baby can recognize sound and turn towards it. At some point, they want to see the baby sitting up. At some point, they want to hear the baby talking. They want to see if the baby can recognize certain phrases and terms. Is the baby rolling over? And they chart this on a graph, and weight and height, and they try to figure out, is the baby taking next steps? We have next steps in career and schooling. Kindergarten is followed by, usually, if you have a rough kindergarten, it's not, but kindergarten is usually followed by first grade. First grade is followed by second grade. You get out of high school, and there's some career path that you choose, and maybe you say, my next step is to go to college, or my next step is to get in a career, and then at some point you say, my next step is to sit behind a desk and not be on a roof. And then my next step is to, at some point, start a 401k so that I can retire before 90. And we all have these next steps in our careers. We have next steps in fitness. I don't know if you realize this, but health and fitness. I'm going to exercise 3 days this week. Yeah. And my next step will be to exercise 4 days next week. And my next step will be, I'm going to stop snacking on sugary snacks after supper. That's my next step. Or maybe it should be my next step. I have trouble with that one. My daughter said that there's something called zero snacking. And apparently you can snack, only you don't take a hit. A zero snack. So they're worth zero. They taste like nothing, and they're worthless. So why are we eating them? like vegetables. Like, oh, just eat carrots. Just eat a piece of broccoli. Like, what do I not got to do? If I want a snack, I'm getting the ice cream. Actually, last night it wasn't even just ice cream. It was ice cream, and it was chocolate sauce, and it was homemade maple syrup. And wait, I'm not done even yet. And it was whipped cream. So, and she was saying, Dad, that's not a zero snack. I'm like, oh, this is a snack. This is like a fourth supper. But we all have these next steps in health and fitness. We have next steps on our phone. My phone buzzed 15 minutes ago and said, oh, by the way, you got to preach in 15 minutes. Okay, a next step. If I put in directions to go somewhere, it says, oh, your next step is to turn right in 400 feet. Oh, your next step is to get off exit 22 in 87 miles. We have next steps in every area of our lives. And yet, when it comes to our spiritual journeys, oftentimes we don't have next steps. Like, what is your next step when you're, if you're doing a devotional right now, if you're going through a book, if you're reading your Bible, what is your next step? You're like, when I'm done with this devotional, then I'm going to this, or God really wants me to memorize the book of Numbers. I don't have any idea. You know, my next step. But I think oftentimes we don't have a next step spiritually. We just kind of by default bounce through our spiritual journeys, and yet we're surrounded by next steps in every area of our lives except for spiritual. So one of the Bridgewater core values is that all of us has a next step. Everybody has a next step. Now there's a guy that we're going to read one of his books of the Bible. His name's Paul this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Philippians. Otherwise, the verses are going to be on the screen and on here. But there's this guy, Paul, and Paul wrote, he was a super Christian, all right? I'll just lead with that. He had it all together. If anybody did not need a next step, it was Paul, okay? Paul wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. That's Paul. Paul was a church planter and a preacher. One time Paul was preaching, he showed up and he started preaching in the afternoon. He preached all the way till midnight. A little after midnight, so he was long-winded apparently. And this guy was listening to him in the window. His name was Eutychus, and he fell out of the window, and he fell three stories and died during Paul's sermon. You think sometimes we're boring. Some guy was, he died during the sermon. How bad can that be? Paul stops preaching, goes downstairs, and through the power of God, raises Eutychus to life. And then comes back upstairs and preaches until morning. All right, that's Paul. All right, he's a super Christian. Jesus met Paul in Acts chapter 9, we're told, on the road to Damascus. Jesus talked to Paul. Okay, Paul doesn't need any next steps. He has arrived. Throughout Paul's ministry, he healed people, the lame, the sick. This guy was, he's a good dude. All right? That's Paul. And yet, here's what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3. Paul writes that everybody has a next step. He says, I want to know Christ. Okay, wait, we're going to stop right there. So verse 10, I want to know Christ. I'm confused by this. Because if I'm Paul, that's not the first thing on my mind. I would say, Paul, you know Christ. You talk to him like personally. That's weird. We don't get to do that. You got to, like, you raised a guy from the dead, Paul. Like, you, why are you saying you want to know Christ? Well, Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, not only do I want to know Christ, but I want to know him so well that I can suffer with him. See, Jesus suffered for us. Paul understood that, and Paul said, I want to suffer with Christ. If he had to go through bad times, I want to go through bad times because I want to know him so well that our lives are synonymous. I want to be like Jesus. If he went through it, if he did it, I want to do it. I want to know him so well that it's like we're one. Now, what's ironic is this book of Philippians that Paul's writing, he's in prison at the time. So he's been imprisoned for sharing Jesus with people, for telling people about Jesus. And then he sits in prison and says, I want to know this Jesus even more. To which I would say, Paul, you're in prison. You should be complaining. Look at what Jesus got me. Woe is me. My life stinks. And Paul says, no, I want to know him more. This is awesome. I get to be counted worthy to be a part of Jesus' suffering. Woohoo! 2 Corinthians 11 tells us that not only was Paul in prison, it says that Paul was shipwrecked 3 times. He was beaten with rods 3 times. He was whipped 5 times, stoned once, and imprisoned frequently. And yet he's saying here, I want to know Christ. I want my words to match his words. I want my actions to match his actions. I want my thoughts to match his thoughts. He goes on and says in verse 12, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul basically says, I'm following Christ, but I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived yet. I want more of Jesus. We have next steps in our physical and health. We have next steps in our education and careers. Paul's saying, I have a next step in my spiritual journey. You guys should too. We should too. But you know what? Too often we stop. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think sometimes I stop because I feel like a little bit more Jesus, and he might meddle in some of the things I enjoy doing. I kind of like my life. I kind of have areas of my life that I don't want him getting involved in. He's gonna want me to think differently. Or he's going to want me to talk differently. Or he's gonna make me feel bad when I watch that thing on Netflix that I shouldn't watch. He might want me to serve in an area I'm not really want to serve in. He might want me to give a bunch of stuff away, and I kind of like my stuff. You know, if I let Jesus too into my life too much, he's going to probably get in the cracks and crevices and make me feel uncomfortable, and I don't know that I want that. And Paul says, that's exactly what I want. I want to know Christ. I want to suffer with him. You know what? I want to die with him. I didn't even point that out, but he says, to the point of death. And if you read the book of Acts, Paul really, really, really wanted to get to Rome so that he could share Jesus with the emperor and so that he could share Jesus with the Roman Empire. And ultimately, Paul was murdered, was killed because of his pursuit of Jesus. I press on towards the goal. So I wonder, if Paul was here today, would he be saying, what is our next step spiritually, guys? Brett, what's your next step spiritually? You're on this spiritual journey. What's your next step? And we're like, yeah, Paul, it's easy for you to say. He's like, dude, I had next steps. I was in prison writing a letter to the church saying, hey, everybody, I'm still moving forward with Jesus. I want to learn more about Jesus. I want to act more like Jesus. I want him to be involved in how I choose what to watch on Netflix or on Hulu. I want him to know my thoughts. I want my thoughts to match with his thoughts. I want to parent like he would have parented. I want to treat my spouse like he would have treated a spouse. I want to be an employee like Jesus would want me to be an employee. Verse 13, here's what Paul says. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I'm like, okay, wait a second. So Paul, you don't think you've already obtained it. We talked about you. You're like, dude, you've obtained something. You're pretty special. And he says, no. Forgetting what is behind, and he's not talking about the bad things, forgetting what is behind. He's talking about forgetting what is behind. Like, I know that I've done some pretty amazing things. Like, God has allowed me to do some amazing things, but I'm not going to dwell on those. I'm not going to live in the past. I'm not going to celebrate victories from years gone by. I'm looking forward. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. I work, I strain, I press ahead in an effort to figure out what is the next step. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Everyone has a next step. Even Paul, super Christian Paul, has a next step. So I would ask us, so what is your next step? What is my next step spiritually in our spiritual journey? You don't have to think of it on your own. I've got four that I'm going to point out today. So we're going to look at four next steps in our spiritual journey. And some of these may not apply to you at all. Some of these may apply a lot to you. You may get done with all four and say, okay, I'm doing all four of those. So what do you got? And good news, I've got four additional ones that I'll add at the end. So we'll have eight total next steps. But the first next step that I want to hit today is attend church regularly. Attend church regularly. Now, I didn't say attend church once in a while, attend church on Christmas and Easter. Attend church regularly. You know why I said that? Let me demonstrate it. Let's suppose that your nose decided that it was done being on your face. And it just walked off one day. And it said, you know what? I'm going to go make a life for myself. I'm going to go find myself. There's certainly something better than being a nose. And so you got a bunch of noses walking around, you know, and there's some feet that said, you know what? I'm kind of sick of being a foot. Quite honestly, you walk on me all the time, make me feel like I'm nothing. I smell better than your nose. So I'm going to go on my own too. So you got a bunch of feet walking around. There's some arms that say, yeah, I'm sick of being an arm. Left arm, it's underutilized, right? All you use is the right arm. I see how it is. So your left arm's walking. You got a lot of body parts just walking around on their own. Well, that's ridiculous, right? I mean, we don't even know that noses can talk. So how would you even know why they left you? But that's ridiculous. No, it's ridiculous medically because we know that in 6 or 8 hours after something is detached from our body, it dies. So that arm going off to find itself couldn't, because in 6 or 8 hours, it would be dead. It would just be laying there. Like, there's nothing, no life in it. Nose would be dead. Well, that's what we do in the body of Christ. When we decide that we're not going to regularly be hanging out with other followers of Jesus. If you decide, and I decide, not to regularly be spending time with followers of Jesus, which is the church is the body of Christ, we will die. We're worthless. Following Jesus is not a Lone Ranger sport. It's an all skate. Everybody together. That's why small groups are so important. That's why Sunday morning getting together like this is so important. We need this. God created us to need this for encouragement, for admonishment, for just hanging out and being accountable. We need the body of Christ. In Hebrews, here's what the writer of Hebrews wrote. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more, as you see the day approaching. Even back then, some people were saying, yeah, you know what, I'm just not going to get together. And I would say that what we value, we have time for. We spend money and time on the things we value. And that's just a truth of life. So maybe, I'm preaching to the choir because you're like, well, we're already here. I know. But one of the things that we have to value, I think, in our spiritual journey is attending church regularly. I think that's really, really important. I think God thinks it's important too. The second one, second step, and they're not linear, obviously, but this is also important. Accept Christ as your Savior. I think this is the most important step. Next step. And some of you need to wrestle with this. You know, is this my next step in my spiritual journey? That I need to make Jesus Christ my leader and my forgiver. And there's four pieces to this. And in Romans 3:23, we read that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So everybody's a sinner, the Bible says. We're young, old, rich, poor, important, not important. It doesn't matter. We're all sinners. We all do things that we shouldn't think or say or do, according to God's standards. And the struggle is we think we also do some good things, and in our minds we think, well, if my good outweighs my bad, then maybe there's a giant scale in heaven and I can just kind of get in. The problem with that is the good things we do, we think they're good because we're comparing them with other people and their good things. But the other people are sinners too. And so all of a sudden, my actions look a little better than your actions, but all of our actions are sinful. Isaiah 64, verse 6, this is what Isaiah wrote. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. I don't know if you realize this, but all the good we do compared to Almighty Holy God isn't good at all. It's like filthy rags. Yeah, but you don't understand my list of good things. Yeah, I know, but God said in His Word that they're like filthy rags. The things I do, I don't do to attain some standing with God. The things I do, the good things I do are because of what He already did for me. You see, we're all sinners, and we can't save ourselves. We're not good enough. It gets a little worse before it gets better. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin, or the payment of sin, is death. And that's a pretty steep price to pay, payment for sin. So we're all sinners, and we all deserve to die. So if that was the end of the story, that'd be bad. But it's not, because God recognized that, and He sent Jesus down here. Perfect sacrifice, who lived on this earth, perfect, and died for our sins, to pay the price for our sins, and then offers to be our leader and forgiver. And Romans 3, verse 24, it says this, and all are justified, and justified means God removes the guilt and the penalty of sin freely by His grace, by God's grace, through the redemption or the clearing of a debt that came by Christ Jesus. So you and I have the opportunity to have our guilt and our sin removed because of what Christ Jesus did, because He died on a cross for our sins and cleared our debt. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. So my question on this next step is, when did you realize that you were not good enough to get to heaven and you had to trust in Jesus for forgiveness for your sins? When did you decide, when did you say, you know what, you're right, Jesus is all I need and I need to make Him my leader and forgiver? For some of you, that is your next step, and you need to wrestle through that. Some of you need to say, you know what, some of us need to say, I need to make church a priority. Some need to say, you know what, I need to make Jesus my leader and forgiver. It's time to put a line in the sand, to drive a stake in and say, okay, I need to get right with God. The sin and guilt need to be gone. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my leader and forgiver. Now, others of us, our next step is that we need to get baptized. And baptism is the very first command that Jesus gave to people who identified with Him as followers of Jesus. So here's what happened. People said, we want to follow Jesus. He's like, that's awesome. Okay, we got to tell all your friends. Well, how are we going to do that? You're going to get baptized. Does the baptism save me? Nope, the water doesn't save you. Well, what does it do? It just shows everybody else that you decided that you're going to be a follower of Jesus. It's a public symbol that I am identifying with Jesus Christ. He is my leader and forgiver. And then you'll come up and ask me later, hey, so tell me, why'd you do that? And I get a chance to share Jesus. It says in Matthew chapter 28, therefore go and make disciples, Jesus is talking, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Okay, so for some of us, our next step spiritually in our spiritual journey, attend church regularly. You're all here, so it probably doesn't apply. Second one, second step may be to accept Jesus Christ as my leader and forgiver. Third one, there might be some of you that say, you know what, in my spiritual journey, I need to get baptized. It's time for me to identify that. I need to do that. Fourth one, I don't feel like we should even talk about, but I think we need to talk about it because I think it's underutilized and it's very important. And that would be read the Bible and apply it. Read and apply the Bible. Now, the reason I don't think we have to talk about this is because I think it's a no-brainer. We have the Bible, and we know it's a great book, and we know that it's got some amazing stuff in it, so we should just spend time reading it, right? But Pew Research says that 35% of all followers of Jesus only read their Bible one time a week. And it's worse than that because 21% of those who signed up and said they were Jesus followers read it zero times a week. So 56% of Jesus followers either read it one time or zero times every week. Well, I would say we're underutilizing God's word. We need to read the Bible and apply it. There were three excuses given for why people don't read the Bible. One was they don't have time. Second was they don't know where to start. And the third one was they got stuck in Genesis. Okay? Don't have time, don't know where to start, got stuck in Genesis. Which the one got stuck in Genesis, I have gotten stuck in Leviticus, so I totally get that one. Like, there are some books in the Bible that are pretty confusing. But let's talk about the first one. They don't have time. Like I said, with church attendance, I believe that you and I, we all have time for what we value. We make it to T-ball games. And T-ball for little kids is so boring. All right? It is so agonizingly boring. It's only exciting when your kid is batting. But the rest of the game, your kid is picking dandelions, kicking pebbles, the ball goes rolling, they don't even know it because they found a grasshopper. And we find time for that. We find time for other kids' sports. We find time for kids' soccer. And little kids' soccer, it's really just a mob of little kids running. They don't play positions. They just run wherever the ball goes. Yeah, except for the one kid who found a grasshopper, and he just keeps watching the grasshopper. But we make time for whatever we want to, for our softball leagues, for our golfing, for our basketball leagues. We find time. We make time to be on Facebook. We make time for our show, whatever we're watching. We find time for the things we value. So, I don't have time is not a good reason to not be reading God's word. And for those of you who say, but Brett, you don't understand, I am so busy. I know. I know everybody feels like they're busy. Everybody. When I was in grad school, one of my professors said, you will never be more available than you are today. You will never have more time for yourself than you do right now. And I thought, you are insane. All right, I have Hebrew class. Hebrew's like hieroglyphics. Like, it is awful to learn Hebrew. I'm working full time. I'm taking classes. I'm engaged to Nicole. Like, I don't have any time. And you're telling me I have more time. I'll tell you what, I had more time then than I did once I had my fifth child. Oh. Five children. They all take time? Yes. Yes. You know, life goes on. You know how your vehicles, you know, vehicles take time, right? You have a vehicle, it always needs a registration or needs a something, or there's something going wrong. Try having five vehicles. Because what happens is your children get older, and then they get their own vehicles. But their own vehicles really is your vehicle. Because it's in your driveway. And so every key ring has all these keys because it's everybody's vehicles, and you have to drive. Life, you'll never be unbusy. And then grandkids come along, and I understand that they take a lot of time too, from what I've read. I haven't experienced that one yet. But not having time, I think that's just a misplaced value. I think that just means I don't value God's word enough. And that's unfortunate. What about I don't know where to start? Well, I can answer that one. Because I'm going to give you a Bible reading plan or a way to get a Bible reading plan. So that will tell you what you can start reading. And then tomorrow, it will tell you what you can read then. And then the next day, it will tell you what you can read then. It's a plan. So I will present that. But I think that we all need to take next steps, even in Bible reading. James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word, the Bible, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." We need to be reading and applying God's word. And for some of you, that's your next step. You need to take a next step in reading God's word and applying it. My dad wrote me something the other day. He was a pastor for years and years and years and years and years. Actually, Luke and I were PKs, and our dads were pastors for long, 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 long times. And my dad wrote me something on email the other day, and he said, "I'm very concerned that the church today is raising up a group of people who are Bible illiterate. They have their phones, they check off a list what they read or if they read or whatever, but they never really interact with the scriptures. They never really dive in and understand what God wrote in his word. And we're so busy today that we don't take time. We spend more time on Facebook or more time on Instagram or on TikTok or whatever than we do with God, and that concerns me." Now, this is a 79-year-old man who gave his life to God and his church, looking back saying, "I'm really concerned, Brett, with the next generation." I read that, and I thought, you know, I think my dad's right. I think, and I'm not going to say everybody has to have a Bible like this, but I will say this. There is something very, very real and special about reading God's word and then circling and highlighting and writing stuff in the margins and underlining and then saying, "Wow, God really taught me that," or "Brett said this verse, I should look it up." There is something very powerful about interacting with God's word. And parents, we're going to have to teach our children how to do that. And the online learning isn't going to help them embrace books. So we're probably going to help them even more. But that's a sidebar. It wasn't in my notes. Just something I was thinking about. We don't want to raise a Bible illiterate generation. And we cannot be Bible illiterate. We need to learn God's word. So here's what the mountain that I created is. Here's the four that we talked about: attend church regularly, salvation, baptism, read your Bible. I don't know which next step, but maybe you need some more. So here are four more. And maybe you want to take a picture of this and take it home, because I want you to commit to one of them. I want you to say, okay, on the way home, this is the one that I'm going to add in my spiritual journey. Commit to spending time with God each day. Maybe that's where you're at. What about beginning journaling in your quiet time with God? And saying, you know what, I want to have a notebook. I want to write down some things that God's teaching me, or some prayer requests I had, or some questions. Commit to memorize one Bible verse each week. I don't know if you're accountable with anybody or how you're doing on that one, but But I meet Thursday mornings with a guy, and we ask each other, what's the Bible verse you memorized this week? And the person who doesn't have a Bible verse has to pay. So we go every other, unless one of us messes up and doesn't have a Bible verse memorized, and then we have to pay. Jim Barber and I met for years and years and years and kept each other accountable. Maybe it's time to hide God's word in your heart as a next step spiritually. Commit to praying instead of listening to the radio in the vehicle, in your car or truck, on your way to work. Just don't turn the radio on and just pray. I began doing that probably 15 years ago. Best thing I've ever done. And I pray out loud because I can't concentrate because I have ADD or whatever, and I just am very distracted. But if I pray out loud, I can hear myself. And sometimes I even pray out loud and say, no, I didn't mean that. Whoa, that sounds really bad. That wasn't what I meant. Because I hear what I said, and I'm like, oh, that's not what I wanted to say to God. But praying out loud for me in the car is a time when it's very quiet and I have conversation with God to myself. Maybe that's your next step spiritually. I don't know. But everyone has a next step. And if you're wondering, okay, I didn't hear what a next step, maybe one of your next steps is to help somebody else find their next step. Some of you need to be discipling people. Who are you bringing alongside and pounding on them and building into them and helping them find their next steps? If you want to go to our website, Bridgewater website, there are a bunch of options on next steps. And if you want to get baptized, you can click there. If you want to follow Jesus, you want to know more about accepting Jesus as my Lord, leader and forgiver, growing in your faith, joining a small group, whatever, go to the Bridgewater website and find what your next step is. And finally then, if you're looking for a Bible reading plan, our Bridgewater app, hopefully you've all downloaded it. If not, please download the Bridgewater app. On there, there's a place that you can click for Bible reading, and you will find a Bible reading plan that will help you have something every morning that you can read, or every evening, whatever your best time is. But everybody should have a next step in their spiritual journey. If Paul had a next step and he was a spiritual giant, surely you and I need next steps. It's the first value at Bridgewater, core value. If we're going to make more and better disciples of Jesus Christ as a church, as a body, we all need to be pursuing our next step spiritually. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the reminder that we need to be growing in you. We need to be pursuing you. Thank you for Paul's example. I just ask that you'd help us not to be so proud that we think we've ever arrived. And God, I know that I never really actually think that cognitively, but I'm sure that I act that way sometimes. And I pray that you'd help us know what you want us to do next in our spiritual journey. I pray that we would all have next steps. Help us not to be so selfish that we keep those to ourselves, but I pray that we'd be working with other people around us and helping them find their next step too, and then growing together as we walk through life. Thank you so much for what you've done at Halstead and at Bridgewater as a whole. God, please keep your hand of blessing on us. I pray that we would pursue you like you want. In Jesus' name, amen.